I am still baffled at the 12 minute and 15 second mark in the second quarter yesterday when Kenny Pickett went back to pass, didn't like what he saw, and somersaulted by way of trying to pull back the throw that he didn't want to let go. Have we ever seen anything like that? That was as unbelievable. Thank you, Kenny Pickett, for bringing us. It's not even going to count for the record books because there was a flag on the play.
Yeah.
I've never seen a quarterback do a full-on somersault trying to do a little pump fake deal.
I thought the thing was incomplete.
Did they call it fumble, whatever. I've never seen a quarterback do a somersault trying to throw a football.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, you're unbelievable.
Didn't Dak, when he was, it wasn't a somersault. Didn't he kind of like weird body throw when he hurt his hamstring?
Gonna need some tape to prove it because in my mind
I'll pull it up. We got film in front of us.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get there. I can't believe what Kenny Pickett did yesterday. Can't believe what Cooper Rush did yesterday. There's something about the Eagles.
Yeah.
What is it about the green color? AT&T Stadium or in Filthy, Cooper Rush is the worst version of himself when he sees those Eagles flying around.
Can I ask you, since you're kind of an analytics kid, you know, you always ask me about what they should go for it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. The pass that went down the field on third and one that was incomplete to Mingo.
I know you didn't like that call.
All right. I didn't like it because there were two other dudes open on the play.
Ferguson and Zeke, right?
There's actually three of them that were open
on
the play.
Okay, okay.
There are three of them that were open on the play. But I'm going to ask you this question. You throw that pass. You throw the double move pass on third and one.
Because you know.
You know.
You're
it's gonna... fourth. It's going to be fourth and one on your 41. What do you think the analytics tell you to do on fourth and one from your own 41?
I'm saying that's a green light. Go for it.
Punt. I am not calling. I'm only calling that double go move and calling that play if I don't get it, I'm going for it.
I'm going for it, right. I was surprised that they didn't.
The metrics told you to punt in that situation. Now, here's one.
That means the metrics tell you to not throw the deep ball on third and one.
That's exactly right. This is what's funny, though. On fourth and two from their own 17 in the first quarter, that was a toss-up. That's fourth and two from your own 17. It's a toss-up on the metrics, whether to go for it or not.
On your own 17?
On your own 17.
At what point in the game was that?
First quarter.
First quarter.
It was 3:03 left in the first.
This doesn't make sense. How could they be telling you to go for
it? It's a toss-up.
Okay, how could they be telling you toss up on fourth and two and telling you
at your own 17?
At your own 17.
But fourth and one, it's actually the metrics because of the ball. I guess they got some way. It was actually fourth. It was 1.6 yards needed for the first. This is where these officials toss the ball around and they screw you.
Right.
You know, and you're like, oh, it's short. And now you know why it's short.
Yeah.
Because it's not fourth and one. It's really fourth point. It's 1.6 yards is what you need. But I just found it funny because I was thinking, if you're going to call that play, that double move like that, and it's incomplete, aren't you going for it if you don't get it?
100%. That's the only reason why you make that call on third and one is because you know, hey, back pocket, we'll still have a fourth and one scenario. That's like football 101.
He had Ferguson underneath. He had Zeke underneath. He had Mingo. Oh, no, he had Mingo. It was all about Mingo on that. It was, when you watch the tape, it's like, we're not throwing the ball to Zeke, or we're not throwing the ball to Ferguson here.
No intention.
That ball is going. He had Cooks on the other side running a double move that was open. He threw the ball to Mingo instead of throwing the ball. He chose Mingo over Cooks, and both of them had separation on the play. Or he could have got the first down and then lived to fight another day, but he didn't do that. He tried to throw the ball, and McCarthy said the wind caught it, and, you know.
The wind was catching a lot yesterday.
Wind was catching a lot.
Not for old McKean and for Pickett, but the wind
McKee.
was, yeah, the, yeah. The wind was definitely affecting our man Cooper Rush. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation on a Back to Reality Cowboys Monday. Welcome into the program. We got Lucius Alexander back holding it down in the Pim Cup. G-Bag of the Day coming up in 25 minutes. LA Live commercial free 540. Brian brought us the Super Bowl winning scout. I know you. I know you got your Krusty's corners. We got two Krusty's corners today.
We do
on a Cowboy Monday.
I got a lot to talk about too.
320 and 520. That was just
a lot of Krusty corners. That's
a lot of Krusty corners.
Hey,
Lucius, you got to try this pretzel from the stadium in Philly.
I'm not joking, you, Lucius.
I got half of it coming your way.
It's here from Philly?
It is here from Philly.
It traveled well, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, it traveled in this bag from the press box at the link. I'm showing
it. Press box.
The press box at the link. Might be the best pretzel you ever have in your life.
And I'll co-sign it.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
I just got a piece of that thing.
Hey, Eric over there looking like a squirrel. Just like,
Broadus was so hyped about this pretzel, and he was having FOMO that he wasn't in the press box yesterday while we're doing the pregame show.
Yeah.
And so the legendary Bob Thomas.
Bob Thomas was like listening to the show.
Cowboy statistician.
The guy is unbelievable. Got a Ziploc bag. And brought two pretzels back. Eric and I punished one. You got to try this. Lucius.
Thank God. I thought you said Bobby Belt for a second. I was getting concerned. I was like, he'll put it in his pocket and just walk off. I got
Bobby,
you guys.
Bobby brought it in. Bobby brought it in. But Bob Thomas, I want to thank Bob. I'm sure he's listening right now. One of the best human. Everybody needs a Bob Thomas in their life.
Totally.
Somebody that's thinking about you.
You often said that.
I prefer a Dave.
Dave? A Dave would be good to have,
Dave
too.
Thomas.
Yeah, Dave. Oh.
Yeah.
I see where he's going.
You see where I'm going,
he just got a winning single in his life. He's back.
It is great to have Lucius back in the saddle. It really is here. And we're loaded. We're loaded. We got to say congratulations to Sean Sharif winning the Fan Fantasy League Championship, the title.
There?
His team just, hey, man, they peaked at the right time. No CeeDee Lamb for me. He had Burrow. I mean, he had just some disgusting performances yesterday of dudes just totally lighting it up. Congratulations to him. The
Burrow,
I want more.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. He just had, it was a freak show afternoon for his
Smith.
Squad. They scored like almost 200 points. So in fantasy, if you're touching close to 200, you're absolutely dominant. So congratulations to Sean and his squad. Now, we had, I thought the Kenny Pickett thing was that was the headliner from the game. Take away all the other crap. That play right there was absolutely ridiculous. I did love that Brandon Cooks on the second drive of the game getting a first down on third down and then paying homage to CeeDee Lamb with the finger sniff.
Oh, there you go.
Getting that first down. That was an emphatic finger sniff, and I know that was to his guy, 88, who he missed desperately yesterday on the field.
I think they missed it.
He's wiping his nose. It's a nose wipe.
He's wiping. He's not sniffing?
Yeah, that's like eighth grade-ish.
You don't think he's sniffing that finger?
My finger? Yeah, it's definitely a nose wipe.
Okay, so he's wiping that nose.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Lucius, for that clarification. Homage to old CeeDee.
We love Chris Strong, but if he was behind the glass there, we would have never known that.
No, that's true. That is not any editorial.
Chris does a hell of a job.
Yeah, he does.
But Lucius brings the knowledge.
He does.
With
he
everything.
Does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that stood out as well.
Hysterical, Broadus. That's hilarious.
But that game was that was a beatdown. That was tough to witness, and they were getting it done. I mean, they're at their third string quarterback.
You know where I thought
dude.
The game swung? And tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, because I am quite a bit. I think the Calcaterra catch for the play that he made.
Huge grab.
34 yards. I think Philly's offense was kind of.
They were sputtering.
Sputtering around a little bit.
Well, they come out passing the ball, which was hilarious.
Not sure if they want to run. They hand it to Barkley a couple times. Maybe they don't have great success. Then all of a sudden, Calcaterra makes the third. And it, you know what? It's a really, really good pass. And I think, Izzy was in good shape. I mean, Calcaterra just made a hell of a play. But from that point on, it kind of woke Philadelphia's offense up a little bit. And another thing that woke them up was that they knew every route and every catch that Smith had in that game yesterday was against Booth.
Oh, they had him singled out from the jump.
They schemed that.
Had him singled out from the jump.
Every route they wanted him to run. They managed, but Dallas was playing. Dallas took Bland and put him over there on Brown, and they thought Brown was more of a factor. Me, I just think that, and Brown's a hell of a player, don't get me wrong.
It's a true pick your poison. One of those guys is going to completely go off on you, and
yeah,
the other one's still going
to
have
a
nice day.
Yeah, but don't you find a way to try and double? Then if that's the case, if you're putting Booth over there on Smith, aren't you shading Hooker over there a little bit?
We talked about it in the pregame show. Wherever Booth is, he needs to be the one getting the help.
Yeah.
That should have been whether it's Brown, Smith, I mean, Calcaterra, name that person. If Booth is covering the guy, he needs to get some help here.
Yeah, it didn't happen that way.
No, it did not. It did not. I think that was, and that was a play to Calcaterra, the one that you're talking about being a bit of a turning point there. That was a couple of times you send a blitz, they drop Micah on the play, they bring a blitz. I know Jordan Lewis was involved.
Jordan got
and
picked
you can't
up.
Get home.
Yeah, you
Micah, brought, where was they, Micah yesterday?
They did a great job. Oh, they chipped him all day in that game, by the way. Like Barkley late in that game, and like the play that Pickett got knocked out, you know, the Pickett got, he threw the touchdown to Brown and then got knocked out.
Yep.
Like Micah got like rib shot and like kind of doubled over, and then the play was still going. He got away from Lane Johnson and knocked Pickett down. But man, they put Calcaterra in the backfield, and they put Calcaterra in the backfield at the time and went across the pocket on a chip on Micah. In that game. They were not going to let Micah Parsons win that football game yesterday on defense.
Okay, and if he took a rib shot earlier, I know like when he was walking into the
he took a big-time rib shot. Like Barkley got him in the left side of the ribs. He was trying to get around Lane Johnson, and he's just about to clear, and Barkley like lowers his head, shoulder into the left side of Micah, and it stunned him pretty good.
Well, this is the clip and the quote that is circulating now all over the internet about the way Micah described yesterday's game.
Take away the scoreboard, it was about five plays that decided this game.
Now that is a small little clip from a 60-second response where he was trying to just defend the fact that the defense, hey, it's a couple of plays here, otherwise he felt good about their performance. But at no point can you ever use the words, if you take away the scoreboard. So that's all. You know, you get back in the lab.
Scoreboard was not good.
You remove that. Every time you're at the microphone, those words are never coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
If you just removed the scoreboard, it was only about five plays.
Yeah.
And they did a nice job in that first half trying to bottle up Barkley. But then the second half, it was just...
you knew he was going to get the ball.
It's 10, 11 plays, and they're all runs.
The second quarter was bad. Bad for your offense, bad for your defense. You know, heck, one of your better plays was a 60-some-odd yard kickoff return. And, you know, you get a holding call on that. You know, that wiped out a bunch of hidden yards. Dallas was going to have to kind of win that game like they won the game against the Commanders. You're going to have to get some special teams plays, was going to have to maybe get a stop or two, maybe a turnover. They got killed on the turnover battle. We all know that. You know?
Yeah. The turnovers.
Officials had a rough day, too. We'll get in that Krusty's corner because there was a couple of plays that Dallas should have been called. But Dallas got away with a couple, too, you know, with a couple of... they got rid of a face mask and call. They got away.
Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was early in the game. And what about the Leafau play? Because a lot of people were talking about, like, it's the second play of the game or whatever, and Leafau just shoves Devontae Smith. I thought that was outside the pocket. And it's only a couple of yards down the field. It's not even, and the ball's not in the air.
Yeah, the ball's not in the air. Quarterback is outside the pocket. Yeah, you can destroy receivers on the outside. I think Greg Olsen missed that one last night. He was like, oh, no, he got shoved. No, it's if you're outside the pocket, and that means you don't know if the quarterback is going to become a runner, ball hadn't left his hands, you could go ahead and start wasting guys on the outside.
Well, we'll have an NFL MVP conversation coming up here in a few minutes.
Who got voted? When you were so excited to like bring all these people on and like, hell, I'm just asking folks just to kind of get a – and every one of them picked that runner, and then you got butthurt.
No, I was not butthurt. I felt bad for the lack of football acumen that we had.
Everybody that we invited on, you just wanted just Brad Shams, lack of football acumen.
No, he didn't. To Brad's credit, man, he picked a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He didn't go Saquon Barkley there.
Yeah,
he didn't do the crustiest thing possible and try to hand the MVP to
every
a running back
smart
like
person,
half our show was trying to do.
Every smart
yesterday.
Person on that show yesterday, including myself. Was picking that running back.
Dude, the burglars though, they're now, what is going on? They're coming after our guys now.
What is going on here?
We've seen this throughout sports throughout the country of big time athletes getting their homes burglarized. That happens to Luka Doncic over the weekend. They weren't home. Everybody's fine, which is certainly the good news. But his house being robbed, and then you have Dak's fiance's car getting broken into and having upwards of $40,000 worth of stuff taken out. This was like the day after Christmas, so maybe there were still some Christmas leftovers there. That's always a thing. When you pull up in the driveway, I don't care how safe the neighborhood is, man. You know you got a bunch of stuff right there. Yeah. Even if it's late, you're taking the baby out of the car seat, you're trying to keep it quiet. Yeah. You got to make that move back to the car and get that crap into the house, dude. So tough deal for Luka and for Dak. And this is getting super serious, dude. Every time you turn around, there's a new athlete whose house is being burglarized, and these guys are dialed because they know when the dude is home and not home, because every single time it's Mahomes wasn't home, Kelsey wasn't home, Burrow wasn't home, and thank God for Luka and his family, they weren't home either. All right, just getting started here on a Cowboy Monday, a back to reality Cowboy Monday. Lucius has the G-Bag of the Day coming up in 15 minutes. Who is your NFL MVP? And we'll tell you who the pregame show voted for yesterday. That's next right here in the Nation. All right, yesterday on the pregame show, I was mortified because we asked every single guest on the program who joined us, who would be their MVP if they had a vote. Saquon Barkley ended up winning in a landslide. Are you kidding me? Who's your MVP? 877-881-1053. G-Bag of the Day coming up in 8 minutes. Segment brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. If you have been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. What you got, Broadus?
You knew that Merrill Reese was going to pick his guy, right?
That was the one shoe-in guarantee.
Did Pam Oliver surprise you?
Pam Oliver, she did surprise me a little bit. Yeah, I thought she was going to go, with one of these quarterbacks. Because this is not a down year for the MVP race. I know last year was one of those seasons where it's like, man, we're trying to figure out who do we really give it to. Yeah. There was not one person that was like, oh my gosh, this is a no-brainer. But like this year, we can have a real conversation about a few guys. And I personally wouldn't necessarily want to really give any conversation to the Saquon stuff because he wouldn't even be on my ballot. But it seems like a lot of people do. So he's in the mix, plus the three quarterbacks with Lamar, Allen, and Burrow. And then you add the Barkley factor. I mean, that's four legitimate candidates.
It's the run because we rarely see with the way that running backs have been, say, the last several years, devalued. Is that being fair?
Yes. This year, I think it's like kind of taken a little bit of a turn back. But over the last decade or so, yes, it's been that
devalued. So now you might not see, it's going to be likely that Saquon Barkley is going to break this record.
You think they're going to go for it?
I think they are. I think they're going to play it for a half and go for it and see if they could get it. See if they can get that done.
Do you like that move? When you have the playoffs, you're not getting a bye. The Eagles are not getting a bye.
I had 31 carries the other day, right? 31, 32 carries.
Had a bunch.
I honestly, I think this is important to him.
So you think this is kind of like team deference to the player?
I think this is important to him. I really do. His career at the Giants was really nothing. Am I right about that?
Well, I mean, he was like a lone bright spot of a crappy run.
He never to this level.
Oh, no.
Never,
for sure.
Never to the point.
I mean, yesterday was the first time he ever wore a divisional champion hat and t-shirt.
No question. I think this is important to him. I think it's important to this offensive line because I saw Jeff Southland sitting on the sidelines with him yesterday.
And he was fired up.
He was. And they were having a conversation, and I guarantee you that conversation was, next week we're going to go get this thing. I'm surprised he didn't play the last 8-9 minutes of that Cowboy game and just keep running the ball.
That would have been the time to do it, dude.
I think he could have got...
So weird to me to basically sit him the last quarter of the game for the most part and then try and go all out for it next week.
It's only 100 yards, and it's the Giants, and I guarantee you the Giants have got one foot in the parking lot.
Well, I thought that too until we saw what we saw yesterday. Now, granted, the Eagles, not the Colts.
But. Yeah, but Colts are bad. Come on, let's be honest. Colts are not.
I didn't know they were that bad though. No, I didn't know they could make Drew Locke look like one of the best quarterbacks.
That's a bad football team.
Ever.
That's a bad team.
But that's crazy to me because I understand that, hey, it's important to you, Saquon, it's important to the offensive line. But let's not forget, you have an extra game. So let's not act like there isn't already going to be an asterisk next to it. You break Dickerson's record with an extra game. If you did it in 16, great, but isn't the playoffs more important to you?
Sure,
the
playoffs are important, but
it should be more important.
Yeah, but I think if he gets this record, he's the MVP. That's how important I think it is.
Well, that's a bad way to make your vote.
No, but I'm just telling you, he is going to get a lot of votes if he breaks Eric Dickerson's record.
Yes, and we found that out again yesterday. We had like 8 different guest members on the program, and half of them are giving it to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
So, and 951 says everyone's just tired of the quarterback. Like, okay, without the quarterbacks, you don't even have a sport, dude. Like what Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen are doing right now. Mm-hmm. Is next level nasty stuff. You want to talk about a team that might have the number one overall pick if they didn't have Joe Burrow. That's one of the worst defenses we've seen in a while, dude.
Cincinnati's. Oh, yeah.
You don't have Joe Burrow. Yeah. You're talking about fighting with whoever's picking number one now, the Patriots, for the worst team in the league. Josh Allen's throwing to Khalil Shakir. I believe that is his number one wide receiver. Khalil Shakir. Not much of a household name. They're trading for Amari Cooper at the deadline because they need something in there. Right. Now, he does have a good offensive line, so respect to that. But you go look at his wide receiver separation numbers. Yeah. They'll give you cowboy vibes with, oh, my gosh, everything has to be a tight window throw for Josh Allen. And he's making plays outside the pocket, running all over the place, and he doesn't get sacked. How many times do you think Josh Allen's been sacked this year, Broadus? How many times do you think he's been sacked? Caleb Williams getting sacked at an unbelievable
21?
70-something times.
Is it 21?
14,
yeah.
I mean, the dude and sacks are a quarterback stat, and he's not just getting the ball out quick. Like Peyton Manning was a guy never getting sacked. Of course, he's just getting rid of the ball. Yeah. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to run around and make plays outside of structure, huge chunk gains. But that's what Josh Allen is doing, and same with Lamar. I mean, Lamar's numbers are, pretty much the best when you stack them up. Burrow's got the passing yards, but Lamar's got more passing yards than Josh Allen, and he's got the rushing yards, of course, breaking the Vic record.
Do you feel any different when you? Oh gosh, I forgot our Daniels got bent back like that last night.
Oh yeah, we got the Sunday Night Football replay, which was an awesome game last night. I was fighting to stay awake, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah,
and early in that game, first quarter,
bent back a couple of times. Whoa,
Jaden Daniels. Well, he was running all over the place last night. He's in postseason mode, dude. I love it.
Does it make you, and I'm just asking this question, I'm not trying to start anything with you.
Oh, I'm not trying to start anything either, Broadus. We got 2 days to 2025. Does it make you feel
any different when you keep rallying for these quarterbacks and they go and lay a big fat egg in the playoffs? These MVP quarterbacks?
No.
I'm just asking.
No, it
just
really
asking.
Doesn't. Really doesn't.
I'm asking.
What Lamar Jackson's done in the postseason has nothing to do with what he's being voted on to be the MVP right now, which is just this regular season being dynamite.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about overall legacy, if Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen just can never get to a Super Bowl and win, then yes, that will be the legacy conversation surrounding them for sure.
I just wonder if it's at some point in time, because you do talk about these quarterbacks, and you're right. Super important. But I wonder, you know, it's like, gosh, these quarterbacks, and then they get in the playoffs and then they're out in the first round. And is that really an MVP when you get knocked out like that in the first round?
Well, if that's the case, then Mahomes is the guy. We'll give it to Mahomes.
I mean, I absolutely agree.
I'd give it to Mahomes before I give it to Saquon Barkley. The reason why the Eagles are where they are right now, certainly, Barkley has something to do with it, but when you look at the metrics of their offense, it isn't much different than what it was last year. The difference is Dick Fangio and an amazing draft putting together a top-flight defense.
They're playing much better
on
defense.
And that is the reason. You want to talk about, I don't even know if Barkley's the MVP of his own team because what Dick Fangio and the front office did putting a great defense together. Those two rookie corners
made a huge difference for them.
Super tough call. I mean, between Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen, this is an epic MVP battle.
We'll circle back when we have this conversation about if these guys win the MVP quarterbacks and then they lay that egg. I'm going to remind you of that.
Okay.
And I want to get your opinion when that turns around.
Looking forward to it. Right now, we go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander, G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, big lizard. Hey, so there's no love for Pat Mahomes?
Oh no, we just mentioned him there at the end. I like that. That was Brad Sham's.
Yeah, it was Sham's vote. Yeah.
And I'm cool with that.
It's amazing. The man is magic.
Yeah.
I can't believe, and he plays it so nonchalantly out there.
Sure.
Against everything that's going on. His brother's a complete mess. Yeah. His wife, respectfully, is a mess. Yeah. His dad's a mess. And he's still out here balling on you boys, man.
Amen, Lucius.
All the distractions in the world, and he's still out here balling. Oh, man. And he's built like a gardener. It's amazing.
Yeah, dude, he's pear-shaped.
Yeah, bro. Come on, my man. He got mad chainsaws and stuff in his garage. I got you. All right, looks like our winner so far is a comedian, Cam Patterson. Is that the winner?
Yes. One-time champ.
He was mistaken for a recruit at a Colorado game.
Was.
Let's check this out. I haven't heard.
You know, it's crazy. I went to a Colorado Buffalo game recently, and I had on the uniform. I had like a jacket on, and a bunch of white people just thought I was a recruit, and that was the funniest shit ever. They're like, he can't be here to read. He's not a reader. This is a running back.
Oh,
this is
God.
Crazy. And it was cool because I was in line the whole time. Like, one lady was like, are you going to go here? You going to come here? I was like, I might. I'm thinking about it a little bit. I got three schools lined up right now. It's Florida, Georgia, and here. You feel me? And then she was like, but you can't beat these views. And I wanted to be funny, so I was like, you can't beat the white bitch. And I walked off.
Oh,
she was
my very God. Confused.
That man said the bunnies, bro. The bunnies.
The bunnies.
The bunnies.
That's definitely good for recruiting.
Oh,
there's no question.
God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Didn't it work with Jesus Shuttlesworth? He had them lined up for a moment there, them recruiting trips. Mm-hmm. I see it. All right. Let's see here what we got. Let's go to Northern Illinois. They played Fresno State in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yes.
Which I watched. It went to like a million overtimes. Mm. Watched it with my brother. He's in town. He lives in California. He goes to Fresno State. So he was watching it like, oh, that's my squad, bro. That's my squad, bro.
This is the game where they were putting bulldogs up on the graphics.
Bulldogs.
The coach is pretty excited about his win, though. Check this out.
Coach, you just got dumped with the Idaho potato fries. What does it mean to take home this win for your team?
You know, that was the best dump of my career, and it was french fries. It seemed like they were a little bit salty.
Best dump of his career.
The best dump of his career.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
And so they're just taking a bucket of french fries and pouring them over him. Yeah. That sounds a lot like heaven, dude.
Yeah, the best dump of your whole career. Sounds like heaven to me. Yeah. I'll tell you what.
Yep.
You walk out of that bathroom like that probably was the best one I've ever done in my entire life. I'm going to live for another 15 years after that one.
Life-changing.
You got to tell somebody about that moment, too. You can't keep that to yourself.
Ropes, fam. All right, let's see what else we got right here. Boobie-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-doo. Anthony Edwards. I told you he'd be cussing too much on the microphones. He'd be talking like it's just you and me after the games. And there's families watching. You're on a network. You can't be talking like this, fam.
Let's do that big shot.
Man,
at the
all
end.
I knew was the play was for Drew to go 14. Small pick and roll. Once he picked it up, I mean, who else? I got to go get it. And Kiel found me. He cut me off. I'm like, shit, I'm going for the win. Like Gilbert Arena said, I don't do overtime, so fuck it.
They let them roll, right, Lucius? They just let these guys roll.
Just be talking too much.
Yeah, let them roll.
He's got to edit himself a little bit. Like, I get it, man. You have the freedom of speech to say what you want to, but you're on network television after the game. It's mad people watching you. You got to clean up a little bit. That's for podcasts and stuff, you know?
Let's see, and now everything is being blurred in a way. And these dudes are doing podcasts all over the place, letting it fly. They're watching McAfee. You're watching alternative broadcast during games, and you're hearing craziness. Everybody's just falling in line.
Cussing and fussing. I get it, though. He's feeling good after hitting the game winner. He's like, it's on me.
Yeah.
It's on me,
fam. I wouldn't even know what that would feel like, you know? So I can't even, I can't poke holes in anything he just did there.
Yeah. Let's see here. I already got fined for this. Did I see that down the timeline? He got fined for cussing and fussing like that?
I'm
or just
on
cussing,
it.
Not really fussing. Yesterday was a church day. I prayed you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and all that good stuff. I see what you're doing online, Mr. Freddie Haynes. Keep putting that motivation out there for the peoples. Now, I seen this in the folder, and I was like, I know they didn't play this. Street Preacher?
Oh.
Y'all play the Street Preacher?
Chris Strong played the Street Preacher.
On a Friday? Not even the day after church, on a Friday?
I didn't call him out for it. I was not quite a church day, but.
Oh, my God. Y'all crashed out, bro. Have some respect.
I should have put up a roadblock. I should have just led from the front there.
If he could have, told me, the religion practice that happened the day before, if he could explain it. Well, Buddhists always get down on Thursday. Okay. Yeah. I'll allow it. I'll allow it. All right. That's all right. I'll skip that one and go to this one. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Oh.
Sweet.
Skipping words.
Yeah, we are missing them.
How, yeah. Sweet the sound.
Oh, now the organist. Here we go.
Yeah.
He's figured it out.
There has saved a rat like me.
Pretty sure it's not a rat like me, but
no.
It's a personal thing. You might be rat vibes. Yeah. I get it. And that's why God saved your life.
She personalized it.
Yeah.
Lucius, I'm going to ask this question. Would the Red Cross have to drop supplies to us too? Because that would have taken forever.
All day.
We would have had to have some supplies to be able to survive that length of that song.
I think she's still going. Hold on.
I won.
Yeah, she's going.
I once was lost.
Once.
Was wowed?
Good Lord, man.
Man, she was on fire.
Yeah. All right, that's it, I guess. I don't want to push it too much. I just got back here.
All right, let's get to the voting here. We're not going to overwork ourselves today.
Yeah, not going to do too much.
Is it your one-time G-Bag of the Day champion, Cam Patterson, ball-sacking the Buffs fans? Is it the Coach Idaho Potato Bowl best dump of his career? Anthony Edwards doesn't do overtime. Church Lady, Amazing Disgrace. Wow, this is...
Amazing Disgrace.
This is tough. I mean... How could you not go with the best dump of your career?
Bro.
It's hard to beat that. I mean, it's all downhill from here after this for this guy, but he reached the top of the mountain. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, me too. Plus, I watched that game with my brother, so I have a sentimental value to it. He was drinking a lot of tequila, and he was like, whatever kid that was doing like an awesome play, I think it was like number 11 or something, he's like, when I see him on campus, I'm going to shake his hand, dog. I'm shaking his hand. I was like, you probably will never see him, bro.
That is so good, man. All right, your rendered useless vote brought us
Church Lady.
Hey. Church Lady, Amazing Disgrace. All right, by a score of 2-1, your new G-Bag of the Day champion, the best dump of my career, Idaho Potato Ball. Was that the Fresno? Was that the Bulldogs coach? Or was
No, that was the Huskies coach.
That was the Huskies coach. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. All right, congrats to him, one-time
Bulldogs.
G-Bag of the Day champion.
Bulldog.
NFL News of the Day, top of the hour, best of the sports weekend featuring the Pop-Tart Bowl and so much more next year on The Fan. What was the best or maybe the funniest thing from the sports weekend? 877-881-1053. I feel like it has to be tying into the Giants in some way, like with what Shedeur Sanders was doing with Giants cleats before the game, going number one overall, and then the Giants doing what they did yesterday in hilarious fashion. We will we'll break down the disastrous Big Apple New York teams coming up in NFL News of the Day, but that was pretty amazing to watch Shedeur Sanders unveil the Giants cleats, thinking they're going to, of course, lose to the Colts. They'll lose to the Eagles next week. They'll be picking number one overall, and it's Shedeur Sanders going number one overall. But as soon as those Giants cleats surfaced on the internet, it was like everything came crashing down for Shedeur, the Buffs, and Giants fans who were hoping for that number one overall pick. We welcome in Carter Freeman, College Football Carter, in the mix here for a best of the sports weekend. To me, I don't know how it gets better than that.
Yeah, the Giants like anti-tanked. They just went backwards. They saw that and they're like, okay, we don't want this. We're gonna win this game so we don't get Shedeur.
I have a Giants fan on
the
shred line.
They did the same
coming up
thing
in a few minutes.
They did the same thing with Daniels, though. Didn't they win a meaningless game late? They could have got him the second overall pick last year. And then it fallen down to 6. I think they've done this before.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Just I mean, not when you think that, not they can't
that,
get any dumber.
Not that that receiver's a bad player, but, you kind of think about the way the draft could have fell for him. And you know, they could have ended up with Daniels or something like that. That's unfortunate.
What I saw was that Malik Nabers balled out yesterday, so the team could get another win. Then they'd go sign Jameis. So then Jameis will just throw the ball to Nabers and boost his numbers, so he'll get that high contract later down the line.
So that was
it's chess, not checkers, for Nabers.
That. Lucius, do I see you snacking on that pretzel?
I was, man. It's so good.
Oh my God.
Save some for me.
I'll try to, bro.
That
I think it's hidden.
That Eagles press box pretzel, dude. And this is now like over 24 hours later. It's been on an airplane. Probably was in the pocket of Bobby Belt's jeans.
No, it's a hoodie.
Now it goes into our
mouth. No wrapper, no nothing.
Nothing, dude.
Naked pretzel in his jeans.
He's like Napoleon Dynamite, day. Dude. But that pretzel, unbelievable, man.
Boy,
I'm glad you agree.
I
really do. I think that's the best, like, hot to soft pretzel that I've ever had. It's not even hot. It's not even fresh. It was 10 out of 10, dude. Yeah.
I'm not. I kind of get accused of overselling food and stuff. But that right there, that's one of the reasons why I brought it up. There's certain places like in the league that has, you know, AT&T Stadium, outstanding press box food. I would say that Philadelphia, with what they do with their sandwiches, their cold cuts, their hot dishes, their pretzels, they give it some thought. And I think they have some excellent food. You're going to go in there and get your ass kicked. Might as well eat like four or five of those pretzels while you're doing it.
I know. I was thinking to myself, like, how many of those would I have eaten
I would have bagged a couple. Two and a half.
Especially knowing the staying power of these things.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be coming
back
fresh, in my
suitcase. They stay fresh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not going to be watching the game the way it was going, so you're just going to have your mind only on those pretzels.
Good call. Good call.
It's fantastic for a hangover. I can already feel it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I'm just saying I was. I can just tell how thick it is, you know?
I was about to say, did that little holiday get away from you a little bit, Lucius? But you already put away the apple pie moonshine from Rodeo Ron.
It barely made it to the house.
Listen, everybody, drive safe out there. Watch yourself. Watch
Don't
your speed.
Out.
Don't crash out. Don't
establish
mind me. I'm drinking moonshine.
I look at this thing.
This is like warning all of us to watch out for each other.
So he can have all the fun.
So he can like be on the road by himself drinking moonshine.
Just tearing it up. I got that thing in my pantry because you're supposed to keep it. Should I be keeping it cold right now? I don't know. It's in my pantry. Every time I open my pantry, that thing is staring back at me, and I'm looking at it with great fear. I haven't cracked it open.
I think it's fine. Just leaving it out.
Just leaving it out.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Travis Hunter, he showed out in the game. He had four catches for 106 yards and a touchdown. One of them was 58-yard play. And just those plays right there make me completely understand why some of these guys really just think, yeah, he's a receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to several
guys and gals around the league, and a lot of them are looking at him as a wide receiver.
And he won the Biletnikoff, like, best receiver in the country this year. And you get more out of him at receiver, I feel, than you would at corner.
Didn't he win the Thorpe, too?
No, the Thorpe was Barron from Texas.
Oh, Texas. Yeah. Very deserving then. Yeah, Barron.
I don't think Travis Hunter was even nominated for the Thorpe.
Wow.
I think there was some controversy there.
Probably a mistake.
Well, you go from pregame seeing the Giants cleats from Shador Sanders. Everything bottoms out after that for them. They get smoked by BYU 36-14. And at one point during the game, you had Shiloh Sanders thinking he made a good defensive play, not realizing it was a flag on the play. And this is the replay, and this is the play-by-play of him. He's sort of breakdancing while flags are raining down behind him.
For the seventh Colorado penalty and another costly one as he's going to pick up Moa out of the backfield. That right arm gets draped. Now, Moa kind of slips, but he's got that right arm hanging over the running back out of the backfield.
Doing a little breakdancing before he realized the penalty was on him.
Premature celebration there for Shiloh Sanders.
Ouch.
Never want to fall victim to premature celebration. No. And it's bested a lot of folks, and Shiloh was the latest victim. But the Pop-Tarts Bowl, how about that? That was electric,
something
dude.
Special.
That was electric. What do you think about the MVP going with the cinnamon roll choice? Because you have a multitude of different flavors you can choose from.
Yeah, that was a thing this year.
We're going to put the life-size Pop-Tart into the toaster, and whatever the MVP, you get to choose your flavor. Did he hit it out of the park with the cinnamon roll? I'd have been looking for the cookies.
I've never had the cinnamon roll, so I wouldn't even know what to think about this.
I would have gone Wild Berry. And the Wild Berry lived up to its name during the game. The physical mascot that was running around, it was going up to the referee. It was, you know, taunting the players. Like, Iowa State had an interception late in this game to seal the game. And the Wild Berry Pop-Tart was in the mob of players that was celebrating. Like that's how like goofy this bowl has gotten. But I think it's good that there was so much silly stuff going on the field. Like even Sebastian the Ibis, the Miami mascot, was like eating the Pop-Tarts at one point. I think it's good that all this happened on the field, because otherwise the Cam Ward controversy with him not playing, that would have been the only storyline from this game. So you can kind of distract it with, you know, Mario Cristobal being surrounded by Pop-Tarts as he talks about his team losing.
I did love one of the Pop-Tarts doing the Hulk Hogan ripping open of the wrapper,
yeah,
to unveil himself. Yeah. That was pretty special. They had the resurrection of the strawberry Pop-Tart that got killed off last year.
On top of the video board too, like he was, you know, staring over everybody.
It was like one of the coolest pictures ever, that bird's eye view of him looking over the entire scene there as he gets resurrected after being eaten last year by the Pop-Tart Bowl MVP. But yeah, the Cam Ward stuff was interesting. And when are you going to get to the evaluation of the quarterbacks? Do you have a brought us for this upcoming draft? When do you decide?
I've been working through Dane Brugler's top 50. I've got that. He has some quarterbacks in there, but I wanted to make sure we got the draft show starting next week. So
wow,
probably this weekend I will get on some quarterbacks, because, like I say, the draft show, I got to know all those guys. So I've got about 55 guys done right now, and none of them are quarterbacks. So
does Brugler not have any of his quarterbacks in that top 55? Or you skipped
around? I wait for more film, and I've been getting more film each day. So when I get enough film to be able to make a really good evaluation of these guys, that's when I'll start on. And I think I'll be ready to go when the season ends, then I'll just immediately go into draft mode starting Monday, week from today.
Yeah, the Shedeur Sanders versus Cam Ward conversation is going to be awesome. Cam Ward, he did just decide, yeah, at halftime, he was done playing in the ball game. So Miami ends up losing to Iowa State by 1 point, but he put on quite a show in that first half.
And I think that was the plan going into this game. I don't think he held himself out. I thought he was only going to play a half. I believe that's what I had seen before the game. And it's funny, there's such controversy surrounding it, you know, just because bowl games have become things that these players sit out anyway. So the fact that he even played in it to begin with, I thought was cool. And yeah, he got the all-time, you know, Division I passing touchdown record, which Dylan Gabriel's probably going to break if he plays one or two more games for Oregon. So we'll have it for a little bit. But like, still, to say you held that for some amount of time, I think that's cool. And yeah, he had 200 passing yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half. He was doing whatever he wanted against the Iowa State defense.
He had one of the most nonchalant passes I've ever seen.
When he had like 15 seconds in the backfield, where we're talking about Miami's offensive line during the break. Iowa State's defense was 13, 14 yards downfield. They were nowhere close to him.
Usually you see a guy standing in the pocket, but he's kind of like bouncing around a little bit, athletic position. He just completely, I'm pretty sure he locked his knees out and just stood straight up.
Yeah, just ball by his side.
All the time in the world, and then dumps one off. That was pretty cool. But the Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders is going to be awesome. And what the Raiders, what the Giants, what the Jets have going on right now, a total disaster. Let's take a look at the football week and NFL news of the day next right here on The Fan.